Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
I'm thrilled to be back with the national team. I think it's the greatest honor for a coach in our country. I know we have a great challenge ahead, but I believe we have a good pool of players to make our team successful and reach our ultimate goal of qualifying for Russia in 2018. So I'm real excited about the opportunity, and I really look forward to getting to work and getting our team ready to play in 2017.
That's Bruce Arena, who's been brought back to coach the U.S. men's national soccer team and try to lead the squad to the 2018 World Cup in Russia. The 65-year-old Arena replaced Jurgen Klinsmann, who was fired on Monday after nearly 5.5 years in charge of the USA. Arena's contract goes through the 2018 World Cup. Financial terms were not announced. Bruce Arena previously coached the USA from 1998 to 2006. In 2002, he led the USA to the World Cup quarterfinals in South Korea, the best ever showing by the Americans in the modern era. U.S. Soccer Federation President Sunil Gulati says Bruce Arena has proven to be one of the greatest coaches in the country's history.
We're welcoming Bruce back to the program. I don't view it as Bruce 2, but sort of Bruce 2.0. I think he's got far more experience than he did when he had the national team the first go-round. He's proven and reproven many times at all levels of the game in the United States that he's an extraordinarily capable and successful coach. His record, whether it's at the University of Virginia, D.C. United, the Galaxy, obviously, and, of course, with our own national team program, are really unparalleled in college, professional, and national team in the U.S. So we welcome Bruce back.
We heard Sunil Gulati say how Coach Bruce Arena has far more experience now than he did his first go-round with the U.S. national team. Bruce Arena talks about how he's a wiser coach now than when he left in 2006.
I've learned a lot. I've had 10 years on the field at the club level, and I've had the opportunity to work with some of the most talented players in the world, and understanding how they work and how to build a team and continue to grow on the tactical side, continue to grow and how to deal with players, and learning how to plan and playing away and playing in big matches. And I think I told this to Sunil yesterday, I think 10 years later I'm better prepared for this job than I was in 1998 and 2002 and ultimately 2006. So I'm hopeful that the experiences I have are going to benefit the program. And, you know, one of the things you learn from experience is you see things a lot clearer and a lot quicker than you did previously. And the game has slowed down a bit where I can see as a coach and my position how things are happening on the field. I'm better at identifying the strengths and weaknesses of players, and I think I'm better at how you build a team. And certainly this time around it's going to be a great challenge, and I'm excited about it, and hopefully all my experiences help us quickly get this team turned around and ready for qualifying.
Bruce Arena will officially take over the U.S. men's national soccer team on December 1st. With losses to Mexico and Costa Rica earlier this month, Arena is charged with earning points when the USA's 2018 World Cup qualifying schedule resumes in late March against Honduras at home and Panama away. Meanwhile, after getting the boot from U.S. soccer, the German coach, Jurgen Klinsmann, showed a lot of class and expressed a lot of gratitude in a Facebook video.
I just simply want to say
thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you for an amazing ride over the last 5.5 years. It's been an amazing experience. It's been a huge, huge honor to lead the national team over that amount of time. We've had some amazing experiences together. 2012, a record year. 2013, another record year with winning the Gold Cup. 2014, getting out of the group of death against Ghana and Portugal in Brazil with all of you down there. Then obviously 2015, a bit of a disappointment with the Gold Cup, but then 2016, we picked it up and we played an amazing, unforgettable Copa America this summer. It's coming to an end. Obviously, you got to respect that. I just want to say thank you so much. I mean, especially to our fans, the American Outlaws, you know, which grew unbelievably over the last years, you know, having chapters now all over the place and getting bigger and bigger. A very, very special thank you I want to say to all of the players. You know, all the text messages, all the calls I received from the players of support is very emotional for me, and I really, really appreciate it. And I just wish them the best of luck. I was 1,000% convinced, you know, we're going to qualify for Russia 2018 after those two losses. It's now down to a new coach getting that job done, but I'm still convinced, you know, he will get and the team will get the job done, and we'll have a tremendous 2017 and then hopefully a tremendous World Cup in Russia. That being said, again, thanks so much to all of you. Hope to see you soon somewhere on a soccer field out there. Keep supporting your team. It's your national team. You own that team. You know, push them in all the qualifiers now coming up to get all the points that we need in order to be in Russia 2018. And see you soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jürgen Klinsmann. Klinsmann was fired earlier this week as the head coach of the U.S. men's national soccer team. In the Major League Soccer playoffs, players from Ghana and Cameroon have made a big impact for the Montreal Impact. Ghanaian striker Dominic Oduro and Cameroonian left-back Ambroise Oyongo both scored goals for Montreal Tuesday night to help the Impact beat visiting Toronto FC 3-2 in the first leg of MLS's All-Canada Eastern Conference Finals. A crowd of more than 61,000 attended the match at Olympic Stadium in Montreal. In the first leg of the Western Conference Finals Tuesday night, the host Seattle Sounders beat the Colorado Rapids 2-1. Uruguayan midfielder Nicolas Lodeiro scored on a penalty kick in the 61st minute for the game-winning goal. A crowd of almost 43,000 attended the game at CenturyLink Field in Seattle. The second leg in the Seattle-Colorado series will be played on November 27th in Colorado, and the second leg in the Montreal-Toronto series will be played on November 30th in Toronto. The two winners will advance to the MLS Cup Final on December 10th. Now let's go to Cameroon, where action is continuing Wednesday at the Africa Women's Cup of Nations football tournament. In the first Group B match of the day, Ghana is going against defending champion Nigeria in Limbe. And that will be followed by a match between Kenya and Mali, also in Limbe. In their opening game Sunday, Ghana defeated Kenya 3-1, while Nigeria mauled Mali 6-0. Group A was in the spotlight Tuesday in the capital, Yaounde. Host Cameroon beat South Africa 1-0 to clinch a berth in the semifinals November 29th. Genevieve Engo scored in the 83rd minute for the Cameroonian women. And Egypt made history in Yaounde Tuesday when it scored its first ever Africa Women's Cup of Nations win, a 1-0 victory over Zimbabwe. Salma Ahmed was the hero for Egypt. She scored the winning goal from close range in the 82nd minute.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association news, Latvian big man Kristaps Porzingis helped lead the New York Knicks to a 107-103 win Tuesday night over the visiting Portland Trail Blazers. Porzingis scored a game-high 31 points and grabbed 9 rebounds for the Knicks, who have high hopes for the young Latvian star. In this Sunny Side of Sports feature, reporter Jonah Haskell in New York tells us more about Kristaps Porzingis.
Despite making some flashy moves in the offseason, like bringing in Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah from Chicago, the New York Knicks have faltered out of the gate this season, getting off to a mediocre 7-7 start. But none of that is due to the failings of New York's biggest young star, Kristaps Porzingis. The 221-centimeter tall power forward is just 21 years old and has gotten off to a roaring start in his second NBA season. As of the end of play on November 22nd, he was averaging 21 points and over 7 rebounds a game for the Knicks and has teammates and fans alike in awe. But Kristaps hasn't always been tearing it up in the Big Apple. He learned to play basketball on the other side of the world, in his home country of Latvia. Porzingis was born on August 2, 1995, in the western Latvian city of Liepāja and started playing basketball at a young age. His father, Talis, played professionally in the Soviet Union, while Kristaps' mother had spent years in the Latvian national women's basketball team youth system. Porzingis also has two older brothers who both played professionally in Europe and who have been his biggest fans throughout his short career. The lanky Latvian grew up playing in youth competition for the biggest club in his hometown, and at the age of 15, he signed a contract to play for Liga ACB Team Sevilla in the top tier of Spanish basketball. He quickly rose through the ranks in Spain and made his youth squad debut in January 2012 before he eventually rose to senior team status of that year, playing his first game for them on September 26th. At first, Kristaps' playing time was spotty, but he soon settled in and was a lock in Sevilla's starting lineup by his sophomore year as he earned ACB All Young Players Team honors in both his second and third seasons. And around this time, Porzingis began to attract attention on social media and from NBA scouts, many of whom traveled to Spain to watch him play. After garnering a lot of interest from a number of NBA teams, Kristaps declared for the draft in 2014 and was expected to be taken in the first round, but just days before the big event, he withdrew, citing a need to hone his skills in Spain for one more season before moving to the big time. After another successful season of growth at Sevilla, Porzingis entered the 2015 NBA draft as a consensus top five pick. But teams and fans were not without reservations about drafting a European player who was relatively unknown in the States. When Kristaps was eventually picked fourth overall by the New York Knicks, many of the team's faithful were outraged, thinking that the team's future had been squandered on a youngster who had never played basketball in America and who was untested and unprepared. The Latvian quickly set about the task of winning over New York's heart and reassured the city during one of his first press conferences that he was ready.
I'm prepared. I'm really excited. You know, that gives you energy, positive energy, you know, and I just want to go out there, play as hard as I can, practice as hard as I can, and I'm really excited. This is my dream, to play for the Knicks, so, you know, it's a dream come true. I'm really excited to be here. Best city in the world, so there's not a better place to win, and hopefully one day we can bring a championship here and have a big celebration.
A championship is a lofty goal for such a young player, but he was determined. In his first game for the Knicks on the road against the Milwaukee Bucks to open the 2015-2016 season, Porzingis impressed, scoring 16 points and grabbing 5 rebounds as a 20-year-old. And he wasn't a one-hit wonder either, as Kristaps proved the doubters wrong over the full course of the season, ending the year averaging over 14 points and 7 rebounds a game, and winning Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month award for games played in October and November, December, and January. At the end of the season, Porzingis would finish second in NBA Rookie of the Year voting to Karl-Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves. This season, Porzingis has come out hotter than ever, taking the reins of a Knicks team in desperate need of a spark. And while Porzingis is just a 21-year-old kid playing with household names like Carmelo Anthony and Derrick Rose, he is among the team leaders in several statistical categories. On November 16th, Kristaps dropped a career-high 35 points in a win over the Detroit Pistons and recorded a double-double against the Atlanta Hawks just 4 days later before scoring 31 against the Portland Trail Blazers on the 22nd. But his recent hot streak doesn't have him feeling too cocky, as he is always looking to improve and move towards the goal of a championship.
We got to keep going. This, you know, we're just getting started. So nothing to look back, and now just looking forward and and taking game by game and making progress.
Porzingis' head coach with the Knicks, Jeff Hornacek, certainly agrees that Porzingis has yet to reach his potential and is excited to watch Kristaps grow.
He has a lot of confidence going right now, which is great for us. And, his teammates have great confidence in him. So, he's obviously just probably scratching the surface of what he's going to become. So it's going to be fun to watch.
It remains to be seen whether the Knicks will be able to put it together and make a playoff run this season. But if they don't, it probably won't be because Kristaps Porzingis disappointed. And one day, maybe, he'll even bring an NBA championship back to New York. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Jonah Haskell.
Yeah, I'm out that Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my ties. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from
Let's hear it for New York, and let's hear it for Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter, who's in New York in the Big Apple. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be with you from New York.
It was good to hear Jonah back on the Sunny Side of Sports, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I was listening on the phone, and I kind of caught him mid-story, and I said, oh, that sounds a lot like Jonah, and sure enough it was. So we got a lot of New York coverage today on the show.
Well, he was talking about Kristaps Porzingis, the big Latvian star for the New York Knicks, Andrew. What else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we'll stick with a New York story, and it's unfortunately a sad one, and it's the passing of Ralph Branca at the age of 90. He was a pitcher when the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants back in the 50s were the New York Giants and the Brooklyn Dodgers. And he gave up a pitch for his Brooklyn Dodgers. The shot heard round the world is called, one of the most famous calls in baseball that sent the New York Giants to the World Series. So a lot of people are remembering that, but not just that one moment that is kind of part of baseball lore, but the character of Ralph Branca is saying that he was a tremendous player. And as evidence of that, he was actually also the last surviving member of the Brooklyn Dodgers team that Jackie Robinson played on when he broke the color barrier in baseball. He was the first African-American player to play in baseball. And there's a lot of stories coming out from sports journalists and sports historians about his time on that team. And one is actually a quote from Jackie Robinson's widow, Rachel Robinson, who said that Ralph Branca was always good to Jackie Robinson, even when it wasn't fashionable. So
nice.
Ahead of his time there.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page today, Wednesday, you'll see a photo of that big Latvian big man, Kristaps Porzingis, slamming the ball through the basket on Tuesday night against the Portland Trail Blazers. Porzingis, as Jonah Haskell mentioned, one of the biggest players, the tallest players in the NBA. I'll try out my metric here, 2.21 meters, which is the equivalent of about 7 feet 3 inches tall. Kristaps Porzingis, definitely a player to watch in the NBA. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, just quickly on that note, I just want to say I was passing through New York's Penn Station last night, and right above Penn Station is Madison Square Garden, where the New York Knicks play, and I saw a lot of people with Porzingis jerseys on leaving the game. So he definitely has a big following in New York, judging by the fans. But another jersey we might be seeing around a lot more is that of Bruce Arena. Bruce is back, as you talked about at the top of the show. In fact, that's the hashtag that people are using, hashtag Bruce is back, as he is set to helm once again the U.S. men's national soccer team. As we talked about yesterday, you know, there's some apprehension from fans saying, is it a step backwards? Is it going towards the past and not looking towards the future? But as Bruce Arena says, he has more experience now, and a lot of fans are pointing that out, saying that in the time that he served with the L.A. Galaxy, he took them very far, winning some championships there. Very impressive record there. So he's a lot of high hopes for that he can bring that kind of winning streak and that quality of coaching to the U.S. men's national team.
Andrew, what about you personally? What's your reaction to Bruce Arena being brought back to the American squad?
Well, I think I'm kind of taking the diplomatic route where I'm saying let's wait and see what happens. He did have the success with U.S. men's national team in the past. Certainly great success in Los Angeles. I think as many fans were saying, it was kind of time for a change after those two World Cup qualifying losses under Jurgen Klinsmann. Something needed to change. And so I'm hopeful that this is the change that they need. I'm hopeful that this is a move in the right direction. But we will see in a few short months when that next match takes place, that next World Cup qualifier. The team already has a lot on the line for their reputation, for their World Cup chances. And so I think they're going to have a lot to prove, and they're going to go out and try to do so under their new coach. But we will see, and as the reaction continues to pour in, we'll continue to follow it on social media, because I have no doubt that the next couple months are going to be a lot of sideline coaching from social media about this move and what it means and what's going to happen next.
Andrew, anything else trending up there in New York City?
Well, it was actually something trending back down in your way in D.C., and that was the Presidential Medal of Freedom ceremony yesterday. President Obama awarding the Presidential Medal of Freedom for the last time, and it's the highest civilian honor in the country. So lots of luminaries in entertainment and philanthropy and technology and sports. And one of the big names in sports who was there to receive the Presidential Medal of Freedom was Michael Jordan. And President Obama had some a nice little speech he gave about Michael Jordan. Of course, President Obama, a huge Chicago Bulls fan. He said repeatedly in the past that the 96 Bulls are the greatest NBA team ever. So he said that, you know, Michael Jordan is more than just an internet meme. He's a legend in the sport. And, of course, that refers back to our crying Jordan meme that we've talked about so much on the show. Well, these kind words from President Obama at the ceremony actually caused Michael Jordan to tear up. So we have a new crying Jordan that we can use in the crying Jordan meme, as a lot of people noted. In fact, my favorite, I think, was somebody took the old crying Jordan meme and photoshopped that face on top of crying Michael Jordan at this Medal of Freedom ceremony. So fans having a lot of fun with that. But the other line that struck me and a lot of fans on social media reacting to was when President Obama said that people say they're the Michael Jordan of X. To describe when they're the best, and there's a reason for that. You know, somebody says, I'm the Michael Jordan of neurosurgery, or I'm the Michael Jordan of rabbis, or whatever their profession is. And he said that the reason is because Michael Jordan exemplifies being so excellent at what you do and being such a tremendous talent. That's why he's associated with that. So it's really nice words for Michael Jordan at the White House yesterday, and even if it made him tear up a little bit.
Andrew, let's give a couple of quick Sunny Side of Sports shout-outs to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Vin Scully, two other sports figures who received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Jabbar, the NBA's all-time leading scorer, and Vin Scully, you've talked about him, Andrew, the longtime broadcaster for the Los Angeles Dodgers Baseball Club, and you mentioned the Dodgers earlier.
Yes, absolutely. It's, you know, fans talking about them as well and their career accomplishments. And it's really, you know, a nice one of Washington's nice traditions when the president, whoever's in office, can honor all of these Americans who have been so culturally significant in their field. So all three of them, I think we can say without a doubt, have been trailblazers in their fields and are very well known for that.
The VOA's Andrew Palcheski in New York. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And that wraps up the November 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
There is a dangerous global trend in violence against journalists. Indeed, a growing number of journalists are being targeted by violent extremists and transnational criminal organizations, said the spokesperson for Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor Affairs at State, Mario Crifo. Organizations such as Daesh in Iraq and Syria, extremist militias in Libya, Al-Shabaab in Somalia and Boko Haram in Nigeria have brutally attacked journalists who threaten to bring the truth of crimes and corruption to light. The Committee to Protect Journalists, or CPJ, estimates that as many as 40% of crimes against journalists are committed by these kinds of groups and their supporters. One of those killed was Sami Jawdet Rabah. He was abducted in October 2015 by Daesh fighters in Syria, brutalized and later killed, with a video of his killing made available for the entire world to see. He was a reporter for the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, working to document the abuses of the Syrian regime and of Daesh. In June 2016, Sagal Salad Osman was attacked and gunned down in Somalia. She was a reporter with Somali National Television and Radio Mogadishu, where she worked to give voice to Somali demands for an end to the violence there. As President Barack Obama has said, the world is a better and stronger place when individual conscience and a press that is free are allowed to function. In order to achieve that vision, the U.S. has made a major reinvestment in the Securing Access to Freedom of Expression initiative. Dubbed SAFE, the initiative provides training in digital and physical security to journalists through regional centers to help them do their jobs while avoiding targeting. In addition, each year, the Department of State conducts an annual Free the Press campaign, which highlights the stories of journalists who have been imprisoned around the world and calls on governments to release them. The U.S. will continue to work to eliminate impunity for crimes against media professionals. Not only is that the right thing to do to secure justice for journalists and their families, it is essential to achieving the goal of a press that is free to report the truth.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, Joyce Banda, the former president of Malawi. She'll discuss what Africa can learn from the U.S. elections and the peaceful transition of power from one leader to another. That's right here on Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can't these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there.
Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.